Well, thank you, Andy, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for the warm welcome. Just really loved worshiping with you today and really loved those life stories. That's a great idea that I'm going to take back to our church in Bradford. I like the fact that the clock was working its way down, which kind of forces the speaker to the point, but so much to share and so exciting to, just connect with a church that I know is living out the gospel 7 days a week. And that's a fantastic thing. I bring greetings from Esther Finney, our mutual friend. So it was Esther that first connected TLG and Life Church. We have enjoyed working together, providing early intervention with Life Church now for, it'll be 5 years later in 2018 that we celebrate. So it's been great to serve with you, but also great, as Andy shared there, that we really want to build this partnership. And I trust that as I speak, you'll get a sense of why that would be a really good thing. So I'm going to share something of the TLG story, our God adventure. And I'm going to do that very much under the heading of We Are Family. And I trust that the Lord will speak to you around that theme. Family in the sense that we are not on our own in life or in faith, but also importantly, family in the sense that we can bring that to children, young people, and their parents as we bring God's heart for them. We're going to hear from a young man, a Manchester lad, Danny, about how God has worked in his life through TLG with local church. And also we're going to hear from Juliet about the opportunity of coaching here and her experience of early intervention. And then finally, I'm going to share with you a number of ways that you can personally connect with this vision for the local church, helping and supporting struggling children through TLG. Well, the TLG story begins, it's more than 20 years ago. I was a university student over in Bradford in Yorkshire. Let's hear it for Yorkshire. Amazing. I'm sure there were 15 of us there. Fantastic. Well, Yorkshire was the place that God placed me for university, and I joined a church that did what so many churches have done. We opened a youth club. I wasn't a youth worker or a teacher. I was just a bloke in his 20s that had some time, and I hung out with some kids. And we had about 40 kids that would gather with us, and we quickly worked out that maybe half of that group had issues at school. There was one boy called Lewis. I met Lewis when he was 12. He punched me. I really wish I'd known then what I know now, which was really that was just his way of saying hello. He's just saying, hello, how are you doing? Can I be your friend? But by the time Lewis was 15, he'd completely disengaged from school. Should have been starting year 11. It was obvious he had no intention of going back to school. And it was kind of obvious that the school had probably stopped looking for Lewis. Yet there we were, God's people, knowing something of his situation. And I've got to tell you, I just couldn't ignore what I'd come to know. See, I'd met his mum. It was a single mum. There was a live-in boyfriend and then two sisters and a brother. And that family lived on the local council estate. And life for Lewis in every area was chaotic. Yet, you know, the fascinating thing is that every time we opened the youth club, he would be there, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And so aware that he disengaged from school, it felt like we had a sense of responsibility for him. As I look back, I know it was God's Spirit drawing us to his situation with the simple question, but what could we do? What difference could we make? But you know, speaking to mom and speaking to the school, there was a huge openness to the church helping. And so just as volunteers, that's what we did. We spent time with Lewis, supported him to engage again in school. You know, as we did that, what was fascinating is the way that that whole family opened up to the church. So that his two sisters and his brother connected into the kids' ministry of the church. And his mum also connected into the life of the church. Lewis began his own journey of faith. He sat his GCSEs. He got a job at the local cricket ground. That was the other place that he would hide out when he should have been at school. Sort of proves that it isn't just what you know, it really is who you know. So having spent plenty of time at the cricket ground, he got a job there. And then can you imagine what the school said? The school said, "We've got loads more kids like him. How many would you like?" And so that's kind of how we get to here. Simply responding to a need that by God's Spirit, we just could not ignore. The real blessing is that we have a heart to serve the church. TLG is all about enabling the church to bring hope and a future for struggling children. There are now 13 different education centers for teenagers, just like Lewis. But we praise God that there are now over 100 churches providing our early intervention, the program that we are delivering together with you here in Sale. More than 100 churches from Newquay in the south all the way up to Inverness in the north. And that's a good thing, because the need of children and families struggling in life and therefore in education is huge. I've got to be honest, when I met Lewis, I had no idea of the scale of this problem. Over 200,000 children were excluded from school in the last 12 months in our country. Over 200,000 lives, 200,000 families. And then when we think about just primary age kids, kids who are 11 years old and younger, almost 36,000 kids excluded from primary schools. That's 190 kids a day. I'm guessing that's about this many kids excluded from primary schools in our country every single day. And then there's the statistic that I think is the most difficult. I personally find this really hard to get my head around. When it comes to kids who are 6 years old and younger, almost 7,000 exclusions are for kids who are 6 years old and younger. If you're interested in stats, you'd be interested in the trend. You know, what's happening? Is this getting better? Is it getting worse? The number of six-year-olds and younger excluded from school in the past year had increased 31% on the previous year. So this is going to double in 3 years' time unless something significant changes. The Bible in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17 says, "Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow." Seek justice. I'm just convinced that this is a huge social injustice of our time. Because when we look behind the headlines, we see that poor kids are four times more likely to be excluded from school. And all of this is despite the great work of some excellent teachers in our schools, serving every day, doing a brilliant job. But we've got to say that the system, in fact, it's our society, is failing these kids. You know, even when the system identifies special educational needs, those kids that have gone all the way through that process, those kids are 9 times more likely to be excluded from school. It's wrong, it's an injustice, and it's something that I really believe is on God's heart and is increasingly on the heart of his people. Just that word, excluded, it's everything we're opposed to, isn't it? It's everything that is opposed to God's word, to who Jesus is. Denying access, removing from consideration. But you know, today I bring a message of hope. I bring the hope that is Jesus and his love expressed through his church. I love what Bill Hybels says when he says the local church is the hope of the world. And I have the privilege over almost 20 years now in our journey with TLG of just seeing that truth expressed. It's the unconditional love of God that we have received. And as we just share even a small part of what we've received with others, the transformation that is possible is like no other community on earth. I think it's best explained by this truth. We are family. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. So the great news this morning is we are family to one another. So when it comes to life and when it comes to faith, we are not in this on our own. Yes, amen. Who else is really pleased that they're not having to do life and faith on their own? Yes, amen. Fantastic. What a difference that makes that we are family together. It was August 2003 when I discovered a whole new appreciation of family. My wife Rachel and I, we'd been married for 4 years. We thought that baby number 2 was just another big baby. But I now know that when you're at the 20-week scan and the radiographer says twins, he's not joking. Although I did laugh. Nervous laughter. Yes, there I am. So, 12 weeks after that scan, Josh and Dan arrived, and this is 4 weeks after they were born. So this is the young Tim Morfin. One's Josh, one's Dan, and I'm smiling. I'm smiling because these boys, they're 4 weeks old. And this parenting thing, we've got it nailed. We can do 3. You go a couple of times a day, and the nurses have done most of the work. They've been up all night. We changed a few nappies when the boys were in special care, and we fed, well, Rachel fed. And then we took them home. Wow. Wow. It took less than 24 hours for us to make that SOS call that went something like this. Help! To my mum, to Rachel's mum, to our sisters. And we block booked them for 4 months. It was the only thing that we could think of that would enable us to get through. We have a photograph. So, this is Ben, who was just two by that time. This is one of the twins. I've no idea which one in the foreground. That was the case for most of the first couple of years. This is my sister Jane, who's assisting Ben, the big brother. You might be able to make out just in the distant background is Rachel changing the other twins' nappy. And as you can see, the house is pristine. Not at all. It was absolute chaos. But the truth is, we couldn't have done it on our own. We just couldn't have done it on our own. And that shout out to family is the thing that got us through. I was having all sorts of flashbacks as you were talking about the delivery unit and the anxious father pacing up and down outside. But to know that we leave the hospital into the arms of family made all the difference. And so today, I want to encourage you to discover that whole new appreciation of the family of God that you've been adopted into. To celebrate your God-given part in the Life Church family. They say, don't they, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. That's kind of almost true in terms of church, isn't it? That we are placed together. We belong together. And so whether you are the one who needs to make the SOS call, or whether you have the privilege of receiving the SOS call, let's do that as family together, understanding that that is how God has intended for it to be. It's so great that we are not on our own. We're family, and that is about our togetherness. But you know, we are family is also true for the children and the parents that we together are reaching. Do you know there are 1 million children growing up in the UK without a father figure in their lives? When I tell you that that research essentially has the criteria of whether a child has a positive male role model who they see at least twice a year. So there are 1 million kids that don't have that. And it's now true that by the end of childhood, a youngster is more likely to have a television in their bedroom than a father at home. Contrast that, if you would, with God's heart for family. We remember, don't we, that family is God's idea. Psalm 68 says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. And then I love these next few words. God sets the lonely in families. God's heart for the orphan, it runs throughout Scripture, doesn't it? We've been singing it this morning, that the orphan would become a son or a daughter. That is God's intention. And you know, the truth is that we are. Well, as TLG, we're supporting a significant number of children who don't have a mum or a dad. And that is a privilege and a huge responsibility. And we do that in every location, entirely and only in partnership with the local church. But you know, as well as those kids, there's an even greater number who have an experience of growing up which is akin to being orphaned because of the stuff that their parents are facing or contending with. We are family for these children. I mentioned Lewis, the first ever TLG young person. And it's well over 20 years since I first met him. But you know, he's become a really good friend. despite the fact that he's now 36 years old. In truth, the relationship that Rachel and I have with him is much more like a son. I mentioned that I am joined today by Danny, and we're going to hear his story. So would you just give Danny a warm welcome to the stage? Come on up, Danny.
Hi. Amazing.
So, Danny, just we are thinking obviously today about we are family and some of the tough circumstances that some children grow up in. Tell us a bit about the kind of home situation that you grew up in.
So, growing up, of course, from Manchester, Rushall, big up to Rushall, Manchester in general. I grew up in a household that was a domestic abuse household, and a lot of times I would watch and see my dad beating up my mum. And there'd be times when I'd stand at the top of the stairs at night when my brother and sister are sleeping, purely because I couldn't get to sleep, full of anxiety, full of frustration and confusion. And it was there was a deep pain set inside of me. And at the time, I'd, you know, thought part of it was me. Part of it was due to the way I'd behaved and things like that. I started getting beaten up from the age of, you know, three years of age onwards. And it was deeply painful. A lot of times, my brother and sister would also get beaten up as well. And I used to always try to represent them. So if there was something that took place, my dad would call us all down and we would get told who committed whatever they did. And I would say it was me, purely because I didn't want them to get into trouble. These were my older siblings. And it was a very difficult stage at that time. I would have that great deal of anger within me, and I would go to school and express that same anger to other individuals, people that I was in front of, and to objects. And I was just a confused young child with no sense of direction and with no role model, as I would look to a father to be. And school didn't know what was going on, but I wouldn't express that. I just expected them to know. And we do have a lot of that now, young individuals that don't want to let you know, but they kind of want you to know through just seeing the way they are.
So, Danny, yeah. You were then in school with that anger and wanted the school to know, but they didn't understand it. And that led to you kind of being excluded and then kind of being referred to TLG. Tell us a bit about kind of what TLG was like and how that helped.
School was, you know, they had in place TLG. I didn't know what TLG was. It's almost like walking into the unknown. And, you know, coming into TLG, because I'd been to other alternative provisions and it didn't work out, including five different schools, I thought it would be the same with TLG. Kind of walked in and still carried the same characteristics that I did when I went to other locations. The differences with TLG was a great deal of understanding of the situations that had occurred in the past. And it was just the ability to find out what the root of it was within me. Not a lot of people would do that, and I sense that with TLG. Some phenomenal people, and I think as a young child, you get a sense of genuine ability to understand a young child, and that's what I did with some of the guys at TLG. And I started to open up. I started to confide in them. I started to let you guys know. My situation, it was difficult at first, but there was that openness. Times when I'd get angry, they would take me to a separate room. You know, I used to like working out a lot, gym and boxing. And there was this other youth worker called Mark. He'd take me down to the boxing gym and he'd say, release some anger. And whilst I'm releasing anger, we're chatting at the same time. And that was an amazing thing, because then with the understanding that they had of what I'd gone through, they was able to support that. And that's what I felt was great.
And from TLG, you went back to mainstream school, and then you went on in education from there. Just tell us briefly about that.
Yeah, so after TLG, and especially understanding the Christianity within TLG, that's such a significant thing. I started to grow my faith with God. Leaving TLG, I decided to go back, of course, referred back into school. And, you know, when I went back into school, I had much more of an open mind and my vision, and I had a sense of direction with the support that I got. I then decided what I wanted to do. I wanted to get into sort of study business management, as I'd always had a desire for that. So I decided to go back to school, work hard, left school. One of the teachers referred me to college and studied business there. Went on from college to university to study business management. And from there, I'd start to work for property companies, as that was one of my passion. And of course, now with TLG.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Well, thank you, Danny. Take a seat. Thank you. Well, we praise God for what God, by his grace, has done in Danny's life. I now want to just share with you just another story. This is early intervention. A little girl called Ruby. Just put your attention to the screen, please. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah, we are family, and by God's grace, we're enabling family to be restored. Well, yes, this is happening in well over 100 churches across the UK, and we're so excited. We have had 48 new churches sign up to do early intervention during 2017. They're about to be trained, so this is a movement that you guys are part of. But I really want you to kind of hear about it here. And so please would you welcome Juliet, who's just going to come and tell us a bit about early intervention here. Fresh out of life, kids. Thank you so much for, just coming to talk to us. Okay. Tell us a bit about how long you've been coaching and what it is that you do when you're coaching.
Yeah, okay. Am I on?
Yeah.
So I've been coaching for about 2 years. And that means that I go into a local school, local to Stretford, which is where I live, and I go once a week for an hour a week to spend time with a child who is having usually emotional or behavioural difficulties at school and possibly potentially on that road to exclusion. And it's just spending time with them and getting to know them, and the quality time that you have with them, that one-on-one, is really, really special for the child and special for me as well. So over that time, I've coached 3 different children, and I'm currently coaching somebody at the moment, which is a great experience.
And tell us a bit about the impact of that coaching. So it's an hour a week for a school year. What have you seen as a result?
So the little boy that I'm coaching at the moment, he was on a behaviour plan at school where he has to report to his teacher every half hour for his behaviour and to encourage him and give him a smiley face if he's managed to keep his anger under control for that half hour. So that's obviously very, very regular throughout the day. But he's just now, partly through coaching, but also partly through his brilliant teacher, we're looking to bring him down off that plan, so he's only having to check in 3 times a day, which is really quick, and it's a really, really positive thing. And his mum's just incredibly grateful that he's been selected for coaching, because obviously there's only one of me, and she was really, really pleased. Quite tearful, really, when we met for the first time, that somebody was going to put all that investment into her son.
That's fantastic. And in terms of the connection with the church here, you've talked there about relationships with mum, and I know the kind of Bible club that's happened last year and happening again. We're kind of praying that there'll be an opportunity for that connection to be made.
So in half term in February, we've got our Bible holiday club here at church. Last year, we were able to bring along one of our coached children, and we're hoping that they'll come again this year, and they're bringing along their siblings. So just really pray that, you know, nothing happens that will stop that from happening, but we're really excited to welcome them to that.
So I've talked today about the need nationally, but give us a sense of the need and the opportunity locally. I understand the school that you're in would love more coaches. I hear that there are two other schools that would that are local that would love more coaches. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunity. The pastoral worker at my school would... I also work at the school now. I didn't when I started coaching, but I actually also work there now. But I know that she could identify 20 children that she would love to be able to have coaching. But obviously we need more coaches. So it really is a lovely thing to do. It's so special to have that relationship with the child, to spend that quality time with them. It's magic, really. And one of the children that I've been coaching, I followed her on into high school for a term, and just to see her settled there and then meeting with her her carers, and just seeing how she's getting on. It's really a lovely thing to do.
Fantastic. Juliet, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as I draw my thoughts to a close, I thought I would just say a little bit about how you can play your part in enabling lives to be transformed through TLG and our partnership also with Life Church. As you sat down, you will hopefully have seen a leaflet that looks a little bit like that. Do you want to have a look for that? You should also find a TLG pen. So the pen is yours to keep, but I would love you to use the pen to just fill out the reply card here. Andy helpfully made mention of my book. This is Out of the Ordinary. It's the TLG story, and very much just our testimony of how God has shown up in amazing ways to provide for TLG, but also to bring transformation in the lives of children and their families. And in reading the book, you will also hear more about Lewis in his own words and a bit of where he is now. So I would love to give you a copy of Out of the Ordinary today. That's a free gift. All that I would ask is that you just simply fill out your details there. That would enable us to be in touch with you just 3 times a year, sending you our magazine, sharing the vision, and more encouraging stories like those that we have shared today. So if you can fill that out, we have a table just at the top of the stairs in the foyer there. Just bring that to us, and we would love to give you a copy of my book. We'd love it if you would pray for us. So in our magazine, there's a prayer update. And then I'd also like to ask if you would become a hope giver. So on the reverse side of that reply card, you'll see there's an opportunity there just to fill in your details and to become a regular giver to TLG. Early intervention and its growth is funded entirely through donations. The scale of the need is absolutely huge, but God has given us something that we want to put into the hands of many, many more churches. And if you can support us as a hope giver, that will enable early intervention to continue to grow and to bring help to children just like Ruby. This is something that's open to everyone. Just a few pounds a month will make a really big difference. So please, if you could become a hope giver today, that would be fantastic. Fill out as many details as you can. If you have your bank details, that's fantastic. Fill those out. If you haven't, then just Let us have your contact details and we can be in touch in the coming week. And then really importantly, if you are someone who's thinking, wow, that coaching, that's amazing for someone else, I wonder, is there any way that you could become a coach? You might have time during the day, during the week. Maybe you need to ask your employer whether they would let you start late one morning so you can go to the local primary school to be a coach. Maybe you think, actually, you've got to be a teacher or a youth worker. I'm neither of those things. And I've managed to help some kids over the years. It's about time and attention. It's about showing that you care. That's really kind of what Danny was saying. So if you are just maybe thinking that you might possibly be open to exploring coaching, then Juliet and Sarah, who leads the team, will also be with us just by the stand in the entrance. Please do come and talk to us about that. Well, thank you so much. I just want to pray. I want to pray for you as a church. I want to pray for those children who are being helped. Father, we do just give you all the praise for what you are doing by your Spirit in and through your church to bring the gospel in word and deed to the lives of struggling children and their families. Father, I thank you for Life Church and I thank you for its ministry to the community. And my big prayer, God, is that we would see just a resurgence of coaching. We would see, as it were, just an army of love being poured out into schools and families in this district. We thank you that the door is open, the fields are white, and we pray, God, that you would send the laborers. Thank you, God, that you can use every one of us. We can all play our part today in this vision. So, God, help us to do that by your strength and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.